Did you get a new handout? Good for you. Because Miss Tammy worked very hard on those today. Do you guys like those? I mean, are they helpful? All right. Well, they work good as a fan. So, we've been talking about sin, and we've been talking about who sins and what sin is. And if you remember, who remembers last time we were together, we defined, we gave a specific definition for sin. And does somebody remember what that was? Honey, I was pretty sure you remembered. I was going for somebody else. Exactly. Well, at least my wife is paying attention. Missing the mark. Oh, Mavis. Oh, yeah, it's right here. I got it right here. Lord, we sure love you tonight, and we are grateful for your word that we can rely on, that we can fall back on, that we can trust, that we can read, that we can study, that we can line up with, Lord. I pray tonight as we look into this Bible study, this discipleship class, God, I pray that you would impart wisdom to your people. Not just so we can walk out of here and say, hey, I learned something tonight, but so we can walk out of here with something that we can use to glorify you and to expand and grow your kingdom. Lord, that is the ultimate goal of this program. And so, Father, I thank you for it. I pray for your anointing on me and your anointing on your people as we look into your word tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. So another thing that I said last week was that one can see how crooked a line is by putting it next to something that is straight. Amen? And so the Greek expression behind lawlessness means something that opposes the law of God. And so lawlessness means more than just an absence of law. It, in reality, it conveys an active rebellion against the law. An active rebellion against the law. And for those who keep on sinning are active rebels against God. It's interesting sometimes in pastoral ministry because people will ask you and questions, and I think sometimes they want you to give them the answer that they want. How many of you have ever experienced anything like that? And the reality is, as ministers of the gospel, we can only give them the answers from God's word. And it's amazing that people, you know, we live in a crazy world. I don't know if any of you realize that or not, but we live in a kind of a crazy world. And the world that we're living in today, everything is so upside down. Sick is now good. I don't know if you know that or not, but if something's really cool or whatever, it's sick. Yeah. And so, you know, the whole purpose, in my opinion, the whole purpose behind that is to blur the lines, to fuzzy the lines. And so we end up dealing with people that have given their lives to the Lord. Amen. Given, you know, surrendered their life to the Lord, said the sinner's prayer, whatever that amounts to, maybe they've even gone so far as to be baptized. But to see a change in their life is something of a stretch. Because guys and gals sometimes live together and then one of them will get saved or both of them get saved. They continue to live together. Well, if God died for all of my sins, why is that a problem? Because it's exactly what we're talking about. If we just keep on sinning, because living together is contrary to God's word. Amen? And so, this says those who keep on sinning are active rebels against God. If you study out the word rebellion, which is where we get the word rebel, rebellion in the word is, according to God's word, is as the sin of witchcraft. So how can that all be okay with God? Because when you're living a life on purpose of sin, you're in active rebellion against God. And so we can't do that. And so I'm not saying we have to be perfect, but we do have to at least try and live according to God's word. We can't just say, well, listen, I gave my life to the Lord and so now I'm under grace. And so all of this is going to be taken care of. No. God said to be in the world, but not of the world. Come out from among them. Be separate from them. So we can't claim Jesus Christ as our Savior if we just keep on sinning because we are actively rebels against God. So it brings up question number two. Who sins? Pardon me? Every one of us. We all do. Solomon, the Bible says, for there is no one who does not sin. Solomon, who seemed to have a prophetic insight into the future, captivities of his people in 2 Kings 17 and 25, asked God to be merciful to them when they cried out to him to forgive them and to return them to their homeland. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, here's the answer. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sinning confirms our status as sinners, and sin cuts us off from our holy God. So furthermore, sin leads to death because in reality it disqualifies us from living with God. Regardless of how great or small each sin may seem. Now, I was in another conversation with someone not long ago, and we were talking about sin. And I said, which is the greater sin? If I steal a piece of penny bubble gum or I shoot somebody? And they said, well, certainly killing somebody is a far greater sin than stealing gum. I said, no, it's not, because we have to go back and define sin again. And the definition of sin is missing the mark. Whether you really miss it or just miss it a little. I can't remember the story that Tommy Barnett was telling. He was in a golf tournament or something and you got one shot, didn't you? You got to take one shot and you whack the ball, and if you got on the green or a hole in one, you won like a Cadillac or some. Whoever got closest to the hole won this super fancy Cadillac. And Tommy Barnett took his turn. He gets up there, bam, he whacks the thing, and it's that far off the edge of the green. It was the absolute closest ball to the pin of all of them, and there was a bunch of them. It was on the fringe. I'll do the preaching. It was on the fringe. It was on the fringe. There's a point to it, okay, Dennis? There was a point to it. It was on the fringe. And so Tommy Barnett thought, because he was the closest one to the pin, he was going to win the Cadillac. The problem was, he wasn't on the green, he was on the fringe. Just that far off. He missed the mark, so he was disqualified for the car. And see, even though we're that close, even though we're closer than anybody else, if we don't fall within the parameters that have been set, we don't win. And so we have to come back to this definition that sin is really missing the mark. And so sins are deadly, but sinners can be forgiven. How many of you know that's true? There are no distinctions. All of us have sinned. Every one of us. Some have lived longer in sin than others have, but we all sin. There's no real distinction. Let me put it this way. We all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior. He's the only one. It's not Muhammad. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not Buddha. It's not any of them. It's Jesus Christ, the one true God. Well, what if I want something else? Well, you might want something else, but there's only one true God, and His name is Jesus. And through faith, we can receive the salvation that He offers. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. What that word deceive means is we're lying to ourselves. So John explains that those who believe the possibility of human sinlessness are fooling themselves and are refusing to accept the truth. To claim to have the truth and refuse to accept humanity's inherent sinfulness is foolish. The truth of the Word of God does not change. People are sinful. Have you ever been around somebody that's just like the nicest person in the world? I mean, they're just so nice. You think they could never do anything bad. I mean, they're just so nice. And then they have a bad day. And it's ugly. Yeah. And you're like, really? It just proves what I'm trying to say. Yeah. People are sinful. And even though Jesus condemned sin once for all, Christians still live. How many of you know this about what Christ did on the cross? He died for your past, present, and future sins. But even though He did that, does not give us any right to just go ahead and just sin and live like hellions and all that. We can't do that. But that's it is what people want to do because of that truth that He died for all of our sins. So the struggle then is between the old nature and the new nature. Your old nature and your new nature. The old and the new natures will continue until Christ comes to make you and I, his people, perfect. There's always going to be the battle between the old and the new. How many of you know that's true? There's a battle. Every day. So anybody that honestly looks at his or her inner life and claims to be sinless is refusing to accept the truth. John wanted you and I to understand that Christians still battle with sin, but God has provided for you and I the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and the promise of forgiveness when we do sin. And even more than that, he has given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to speak into our life and to tell us, listen, that's wrong. How many of you have ever heard that voice? Don't do that. And how many of you said, I'm going to do it anyway? That's active rebellion against God. Aren't you glad that we can still ask God to forgive us and not do that again? That's the struggle. Because the flesh will tell you it's going to be so much fun, and the Holy Spirit's saying, listen, don't do it. Don't do it. It's going to cost you. It might look good, but don't do it. Listen, I know from experience, we have to listen to the voice of the Lord. So where did sin come from? Where did sin originate? Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven. From where? From heaven. From heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Sin didn't originate in the garden. Sin originated in this son of the morning, this angel named Lucifer that rebelled and pride got in the way, and it caused him, he thought that he could be higher than God. How many of you know God made an example out of him very quickly? Pride was Satan's sin as well as Babylon's. And the truth that pride willfully opposes God and will result in judgment. Pride willfully opposes God. Read that verses, those verses again. For you said in your heart, verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit on the throne. Do you understand that he thinks pretty highly of himself? But we have to realize that there is no one greater than God. There is no one greater than God. Israel itself made the mistake of being too proud to depend on God. And you and I, we are vulnerable to the same mistake. Listen, don't get to thinking that you can handle your situation. Because you'll find out quickly that you can't. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. This one man is Adam. He sinned against God and he brought alienation from God and death to all humanity. We could have a long discussion, but we won't, but I'll just share this with you, that I think Adam could have straightened the whole thing out if he would have just said no. If he'd have just said no. He knew what to do, and he didn't do it. He could have. God warned Adam, "You must not eat," Genesis 2 and 17, "from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you shall surely die." Who was it that deceived Eve? The same guy we've been talking about in Isaiah. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him. Because Adam disobeyed God, the judgment of both spiritual and physical death fell on him and all of his descendants, and death spread to all men because all sinned. Why? Because we all are tied back to Adam. Amen? Death is the consequence of being under the power of sin. According to 1 Corinthians 15:22, in the NIV it says, "In Adam all die." In Adam all die. It was not in God's original plan for human beings to die, but it was a result of sin. It was the result when sin entered the world. And so inevitably, the gift of life that we leave to our children includes with it the sting of death. None of us are getting out of it alive, short of the rapture. I'm shooting for the rapture myself. I just wonder. That's going to be a great day. So why do I sin? Why do we sin? Why do I sin? Why do you sin? What, Mike? Yeah. It's our nature. Let me rephrase that. It's our old nature. It's important to not leave out that three-letter word old. It's not my nature now, it's my old nature. Remember, I've been born again. The Bible says old things pass away. Behold, all things become new, and I'm no longer a slave to sin. So Adam's decision then in the Garden of Eden, God told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told him not to. Regardless of what your wife does, don't do it. That's kind of what he said. Sin in the human race originated in Adam's free decision. He freely decided in that moment to disobey God. A direct commandment from God. A direct directive from God. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do it. How many of us have read in God's Word? Don't do this. Don't do that. And we do whatever we want anyway. And then we wonder why everything is a mess. Adam had a decision to make, and he disobeyed God willingly. The effects of that decision you and I are living in and dealing with today. Sin, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, sin entered the world through one man. His name was Adam. Adam's sin separated man from God. That is another extremely important part of this idea of sin. The Bible makes it clear that sin separates us from God. So if we're actively living in sin, I'm not talking about something that you do, you know, inadvertently or whatever, and you make a bad decision and it's a sin and blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about living day in and day out in sin and yet still trying to claim a relationship with God. It doesn't work because sin separates us from God. So we have to understand these things. Adam's sin separated man from God. Adam's sin resulted in both physical and spiritual death for mankind. In a moment. He said, if you eat of this, you will die. And I'm sure after they took a bite, they weren't dead. They were like... But something happened. Their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. Something was different. They had to know that something had just transpired. Physical death, separation of the soul from the body. The physical part of it. The spiritual death part of it is separation of the soul from God for all eternity. When we think about what I just said in light of Christmas, what we're about to celebrate, it really has a tendency to make Christmas all that much sweeter because this dying in the spiritual sense is separation of our soul from God with eternity. But Jesus showed up. And Jesus made a way that we could have the spiritual death reversed, and now we have new life in Christ. Why? Because I've been born again. That's really the message of Christmas. I'm not bound by the old law. I'm not bound by what Adam did anymore. There's a second Adam. The Bible talks about a second Adam, and his name is Jesus. And he came to repair and to restore what the first Adam messed up. And again, that's the message of Christmas. That's the reason that we have to be able to rejoice is because I know I'm no longer spiritually dead. I'm spiritually alive because of Christ. Because of the baby in the manger. And he gave each and every one of us, as we're going to see in the next few weeks, he gave each and every one of us the greatest gift ever known to man. And that is a free gift. The free gift of salvation. Amen. He came as a baby in a manger. He lived for 33 and a half years, walked among men. When I was working on these notes this morning, as I was thinking about, you know, this is a discipleship class. I'm trying to teach you and make you disciples. I'm trying to get God's word into you so you can take it out. And I thought, man, maybe I should just go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just go through the red writing. Because that's really what he did. The problem is they went everywhere he went. They slept out under the stars together. They ate together. They did so much together. I mean, it was hands-on discipleship. We don't really have that kind of luxury here today. So I pray that you take this information, those handouts that you get. I try and highlight some things that I feel like are valuable and important and I write it down and underline it, and Tammy makes out the notes that you have, and And I'm hoping that when you hear it and see it and write it down, it brings all three elements of that into play and it sticks to you better. Amen. I mean, that's the whole idea behind that. And so I hope and pray that when you get around your Christmas tree and your Christmas table at Christmas dinner, when you have loved ones around there, that maybe you'll get an opportunity to share some of the real reason why Jesus came as a second Adam, to deliver us and to bring us new life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your goodness. So thankful that you came as a baby in a manger. You were revealed first and foremost to that bunch of shepherds. You were a big deal then, and you're a big deal now. And I pray, Lord, that this week as family members travel, some from afar, some from just across town, maybe some just from down the street, but that God, you'd provide journey mercies for our families. Watch over them. Keep them safe, Lord. I pray as we gather together around our tables and fill living rooms full of little kids and laughter and maybe even messing up stuff, that, Lord, you would be the center of attention. That you would be the reason why we gather. That you would be the topic of conversation. The Lord, you'd be glorified around our homes. That you'd be glorified around our trees. And that, Lord, most importantly, you'd be glorified in our life. That we would be the shining lights that you have called us to be. And for that, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day. Ladies are still on for tomorrow. Is that right? Yep. Men, we're still on for Friday night. And we will see you somewhere between here and there. Amen? Amen. Amen.